When you were inside with the Gaelic Press, you must have had some political feelings yourself about...
Well, it was. It did a lot of work for Arthur Griffith in his time. A man called Joe Stanley was the boss then, and they did that kind of political work, a lot of them from the Gaelic Press. But when I was there, our main work was religious magazines, Far East and that sort of thing, you know. But my politics would have come from outside. I also was a bit by way of being an artist, in that I went to the School of Art in my spare time and did some painting and that sort of business.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, there's a portrait of myself there on the wall, which I did sell in 1946.
And the School of Art in Dublin...
Beside the Dáil, you know, that way there, beyond the National Library. I went there at night time.
And would you have, if you had had the opportunity, would you have pursued that work? Or
I would have. I believe I was quite good, but at that time there were people like Carniff, and those literally picking up butts from, you know, with in sheer poverty. And I had a job, a well-paid job. I decided I was either going to continue earning a living, having worked for Buttons as an apprentice, or try to make a living as an artist. So I decided I'd just do artwork to please myself.
Right, so it was more a pastime, really.
It was pastime, and I never tried to sell any, although a few were sold for charity, you know. But I wasn't trying to do that, just doing it to please myself.
When you were in the art studio, who was there at the time?
Keating and McGonigal were the professors and that sort of business. And quite a few, I can't remember all their names. John F. Kelly was another teacher. Quite a few of them. I've forgotten their names now.
Yeah. That's fascinating. And what medium of art did you prefer?
Drawing, pen and ink drawing, and oil colours, although in latter years I'm just doing acrylics, which I found is a better medium to work with for me.
So when you went into ANCO then, now that was another interesting part of your life.
Yeah.
That was the early days when it was being set up, wasn't it?
It was. It was originally on Card Corley. That was the apprenticeship board. And it was set up to organise apprenticeships throughout the country. And I got the job as organising the apprenticeships for the printing industry. The whole printing industry, not just the trade, the whole lot of them. Which meant that I was in contact with every printer in the country, including the Kerry man and the other man, what's his name, originally north of Ireland, from other photographers, but he had printing businesses.
MacMonagall,
yeah. Pat MacMonagall.
And the Cork Examiner, would you have been in touch with the Crosbys?
Ted Crosby was, I knew him well, because we attended a committee down there for organising. It was very well organised. It was a great organisation. And I was persuading people down the country to send their apprentices to printing schools. And it was a pretty tough job. I had to go all around the country, which, when they're talking about expenses, was great. I got so much a mile. going the roads of Ireland.
and you know, the newspapers they were carrying, there were, you know, the broadsheets as we knew them.
That's right.
They were really the articles were pretty well long.
Long and thoughtful and intuitive is the word, and all it was. And it was considered, I mean, we still get the Enniscorthy Echo, one of our friends, buys it, a very large newspaper now, but it was very, very important to the local scenes. Very important to the local newspapers. But as it happened, when the new technology came in, as a result of organising the apprenticeships and getting them to go to school in Dublin or Cork, they were quite well grounded in the theory and the background of printing, and they took to the new technology like that, whereas they were getting themselves fighting and out of jobs in England. We worked out together a compromise deal for taking in the new technology without people losing jobs. And it has worked.
And you were going around the countryside and you were meeting these people.
That's
and
right.
You were... how did that go? I mean, you said that there was difficulties within the firm, with ANCO. Was there?
No.
Everything ran smoothly?
Everything ran smoothly. We organised it for our own trades. Now, some of my comrades, I better call it associates, had difficulties because it was anathema to them, unknown to them, to be attending. But the printing industry was literate in respect that they understood what it meant to get theoretical background as well as the technical, as well as which by going to the technical school they met other people, they exchanged ideas. But it was accepted, very well accepted, although there are practically no apprentices in the printing industry anymore.
And ANCO itself, it died down. It was taken over by Foss.
Yes, when there was a manpower crowd in the Department of Labour, one of Mickey O'Leary's inventions, I think, and they put the three together and made it Foss. Called it Foss. It's been downhill all
the time.
Were
you there for the transition?
I was at the very beginning, but then I left in 1948. I retired. It's been downhill, I believe, all the way since, because I think apprenticeship was just looked down upon then. I've no account, or little or no account. You're going for these masters of business studies and all sorts of businesses, doctorates, anywhere that took you to the far end of the world. Not downtown Dublin.
Right, but the technical colleges, they were beginning to amalgamate into regional colleges.
They did, yes, and some of them, the one in Cork now had a printing school in it. Now, they also had other faculties as well, but that wouldn't have interested me. I was only interested in the printing one and the organisation of the courses for them, apprentices into the courses. And the syllabus was set down by the Department of Education. You know,